Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Julie Knutson with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador, episode number 115. I hope this is finding everybody staying healthy and safe and out of the heat and away from the virus and still have your job and all those kind of things. This is a very interesting time. And on a lighter, more positive topic, I'm going to do a topic I haven't done in really since early on, but it's probably been about almost 2 years since I've done it. But I want to talk about the art of puppy picking. And this is something that I've invested a lot of my life learning about. And I learned from some very, very wise people a long time ago, and then have developed, and you know, with my experiences and stuff over the years, kind of a strong feeling about puppy picking. Now, I know that a lot of folks say you can't, you know, you can't do that. You just reach in there. I've mean, some of the most famous people in the retriever world, you know, I've heard said, just reach in there and grab one out. And you're, you know, that's the best chance that you have. And so I'm not going to say anybody's wrong or anybody's right. I think a lot of it has to do with people's ability and desire to invest that much time and energy and effort and observation and thought. You know, some people really, really click with that, and then others don't. So it's not like a right-wrong thing. It's just like, you know, no, that's just not a thing I do or feel comfortable or I'm very good at. And then there's others who have a, you know, a pretty darn good ability about it. So I'm going to just offer in this my thoughts and observations over a lot of time and a lot of dogs about choosing a puppy that's right for you. So I'm not going to necessarily go into the, you know, how do you find the best litter? Because how you find a best litter often is a function of how many connections you have, knowledgeable and inside connections. When you do have that, you know, and you can get led to some very high potential litters, you're just luckier than you are if you're brand new starting and you're doing an internet search and you're basing that on what people put on their Facebook pages and websites and all that. So that's a whole nother topic unto itself. But once you have found, you know, a litter of puppies and, you know, think I, and then you can, you know, get your dog out of this and then you get to, you have some choice in what you get. Then there are some things I will offer for people to think about when they're doing it. Basically, I'm going to tell you what I would do if I was going, you know, and picking a puppy for a lifetime, hopefully. The kind of things that I would look at and why. Because sometimes people don't think of all the stuff that you might, you know, in hindsight, wish that you had looked at. So I'm just going to, if I can, be as thorough as possible and somewhat brief. I don't want this to go on and on. And talk about puppy picking. Now, it's really nice when you have first pick. I'll say that. Because then if there's a litter of eight puppies, you have eight choices. And that's, you know, that's a lot easier than if you're fifth pick and so there's three left. One thing that my dad used to say, a person from whom I learned a great, great deal about this kind of stuff, when there'd be a litter of puppies and he'd go, well, who's picking? Who's got, you know, who's in there doing first and second pick? And I'd say, oh, it's Charlie. And he'd go, yeah, you're good. You can still probably get the best one out because of people's puppy picking abilities. That's kind of a funny joke always, but I found that to be kind of true. You know, a lot of people, their criteria for picking a puppy is if it's the first one to the food dish. I've heard a lot of people say that. If it's the first one out the door, you know, if it's the first one that runs to them. If it's the one, let's talk about retrievers, since most folks listening to this are. It's the one that retrieved. So, and they're like, that's it. That's the one. Some people like the most bold and aggressive one. Some people, you know, want the shy and retiring one. So people have these ideas, and so it's easy to find the one that's the first one to do everything or to find the one that hangs back and doesn't want to get in the way. But there's a little more to this if you want to go to that depth. Now, sometimes you're just lucky. You know, I've heard the stories of, and I know two dogs that I've actually trained, that both of the owners got the last dog left. This was the only dog left in the litter. It's good litter. There's one dog left, the renty one or whatever. It was the one nobody else wanted. And they both got those dogs, and both of those dogs turned out to be really, really good. Now, I don't know if they were just so much better than everybody else in the litter, or whether they were just, the whole litter was good, and so was the one nobody thought was, or the last one anybody wanted. You know, I can't know that for sure. Or it's just like not, you know, everyone was wrong. And so, you know, they just, again, got lucky. A lot of that could have been that, one, people are just grabbing puppies, and that was the last puppy grab because it was further away, it was less aggressive or something to get, you know, scooped up when somebody reached in and grabbed one. It could also be that these guys develop at different rates. Some dogs, some litters, and some dogs within a litter develop very rapidly, or at least more rapidly than others, just like human beings. You know, there's always the kid, and I'm going to use a boy because I pick on boys here. There's always the boy in grade school and middle school and high school that he's the only one that wasn't shaving, and he's the only one that wasn't growing any muscle at all, and he's the only one that, and his teeth were crooked, and nobody, I mean, he just, all the other guys were kind of manning up and starting to get, do, you know, more manly kind of things, and this kid, you know, was made fun of everywhere, and then he turns out to be, you know, like the guy that starts Microsoft or something. So sometimes the early development is not what it's ultimately going to be, and sometimes it is. And that's the part of puppy picking here, is that nothing is for sure. What it may seem like on a given day or a given series of days or a few weeks, you know, may be exactly what you have or may not be in the end what you're going to have. And so that's the trump card that you don't have and you can't be sure about. So understanding that, all you can do is go in and do the best job you can given the amount of time you have and the opportunities when you go look at these guys. But understand that. Don't, you know, I could tell a zillion stories of litters. Well, I was picking dogs for people. Here, I remember one time, I think it was a litter that was at our place. And so I watched the dogs from the very beginning. And there was, you know, the boldest and the aggressive one. And there were all these ones. And there was one that basically just wasn't very interested in anything. Now, a lot of times when you have a puppy that's not real interested in anything, it's a dog that's going to be not real interested in anything. But so there was this one little dog. And man, he didn't want to retrieve. He'd let everybody get to the dinner bowl and then just find a good spot, right? And so he was never noticed, and he was the last one left. And so somebody in our group of dog people said, well, I'll take him. I'll see what it's like. He turned out to be the most successful, qualified all-age field trial dog even. He was the most successful dog because for some reason he was just really slow mentally, not stupid, it just wasn't working yet. And physically, he just didn't bother. And he never, but you know, he was never did anything stupid at all. Just like on everyone just plowing all over each other to get to the dinner bowl. You know, one of those round ones where they go round and around like a clock as they're all eating and pushing. And he'd wait for a good spot. You know, so that could mean several things, right? It could mean that he's just very timid or that he's just smart. It turned out he was just smart. And when the whole rest of him caught up with everybody else, he turned out to be the best dog in the litter. So there's no way anyone could have known that just looking when they were the little guys. So a lot of times that kind of stuff happens and you can't really do anything about that. So let's talk about, okay, we're going to go look at a litter of puppies here that's been chosen because mom is fantastic and dad is fantastic. And, you know, this is just a really good litter to look at. So let's just kind of make a plan and talk about what it is if we're going to pick out puppies. And again, this is just my thoughts, not telling anybody this is what you have to do. Okay. Not a right or wrong thing. I'm just a one person's approach to finding some good dogs. So if you're going to get a male or a female, like I want a female, right? Or I want a male. If you're, you know, I need to have a female. So then just put all the males when you go look at puppies. Just separate the females out for all the things that you're going to do and the time you're going to spend. Because generally, this is a generalization. There's exceptions to this. The females develop a little bit faster and they show a little bit better early on. Not always, but usually, generally they do. So if you're going, I don't know, male, female, you may be drawn to the females because, you know, they're a little bit more everything. And that can be deceptive. Similarly, if you're looking for, you've got your heart set on a male, all I want to do is look at the males, then leave the females back somewhere and just look at your males. And if you don't have a clue and you get to pick from all eight, you get to pick the one, just bear that in mind. What you may be seeing may be just a function of this differential development, or it may be the way it is. But sometimes, don't underestimate the males because they just don't look as good as that little band of females that's out there doing stuff. That's just one of the things about puppies. So if you can, and I'm going to just talk about, okay, we're going to go pick a female out of this litter. So we grab the four females or five females that they have, and we're going to go evaluate these guys. Now, just some things to think about when you're looking at puppies. And if you've had litters of puppies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, first thing in the morning, they're starving, right? They are very hungry and they're very loud and they're very energetic because they slept at least some of the night, right? And so you've got these puppies now and you took your females out and you're going to, you got these little crazy wild things. So if somebody gives them a big breakfast, right? You get them out and, oh, let me feed them before you start looking at the puppies. Okay, the biggest eater is probably going to be the slowest, tiredest one because most of its resources are busy digesting a lot of food. And the one that didn't get as much may appear to have more energy because they weigh half as much because they ate half as much. So be aware that when you're looking at puppies, if you do it on a big full tummy, some of what you're looking at may be more a function of their eating habits than it is how they actually are physically and mentally. So try to look at puppies, you know, if they can eat a little breakfast early, just so that their bodies now have stuff to keep building, and maybe then go look at them once the feeding frenzy has settled down. So that's just something. And early morning, for me, I like early mornings because that's animals. Natural, you know, time. That's what these guys do tend, unless we train them differently. In the wild, they would wake up very early, first light, you know, and they're very active mentally and physically. So that's an optimal time. You may only be able to look at them after work every day. That may be something. But morning is a very good time. Now, let me talk about looking at them before we get into the specifics. So here's this litter of puppies I'm going to go pick one out of. I'm not going to go look at them when they're two, three, four weeks old. I mean, that's so cute, but they're just little blobs laying there. And they're, you know, there's always a loud blob. See, I would keep an eye on if it's always the same one that's loud, because loud is not something I personally like in a dog I own, noisy and loud. Watch out if there's one in there that's just shrieking all the time. See if you can keep that one identified. But when they're little blobs, they're just blobs. And they aren't in a position mentally or physically to show you very much. But when dogs are, and I like to start looking officially about 6, 7, and 8 weeks. I like to spend at least 3 weeks if I can. And I understand if you live on the other side of the country from where your litter is, that's not possible. But nowadays you got all these webcams and stuff people are using. That can be helpful. You can ask your breeder to do some things for you if you have that kind of relationship with them. But ideally, if you could look at them for about 3 weeks, because things change. 3 weeks in the life of a 6-week-old and 8-week-old dog, that's most of their life. So there are significant changes that happen. But if starting around 6 weeks, right, because they're up, their eyes are open, they're eating, they're probably weaned or close to being weaned, so they're not always with mom. Take mom out of the picture always. You know, don't have the mom factor in there because she rules everything. So you're going to go look at the four girls. Did you have five girls that we have? You know, we're going to put the boys away. We're going to put mom away. And we're going to look at, you know, our five girls. And again, if you could do it at around, somewhere around 6 weeks, a couple times, 7 weeks, and kind of do the stuff I'm going to talk about here. And watch if things change or if things stay consistent. Now remember, there's always that little sluggy in the back that you can't notice it's going to turn out to be great, but we can't do anything about that. So we're still going to have to look at what we've got there. So you look at them at 6 weeks, you look at them at 7 weeks, you look at them at 8 weeks when you're going to take them. See, you know, all the stuff we're going to look at. Does it just radically change? Boy, this week, this one was a superstar, did all this, and next week it just sat in the back and didn't do anything. And there's a lot of reasons for that sometimes. Which, if you're going to be, you know, you're investing a ton of money and the rest of this dog's life in the time you have, just take note of that stuff. So all good breeders are going to have these dogs identified. You know, whether they paint a little color on them or they have a little colored thing around their neck, whatever it is they do, you need to have these dogs identified so that, you know, you got these five colors of things or little ribbons around their neck, and so you always know, you know, every week that, boy, purple ribbon just never joins us, and red ribbon's always first one out just doing everything. So you can keep track of that. And you might want to, you know, write it down, stuff, write little observations down so that you can remember things. Because, you know, sometimes you're just all pubified and it's just so cute and you can't really, it's hard to discern some of these characteristics. So make sure they're marked and make sure that you, you know, take note of this stuff. Now, so you got everybody marked. Right, and we're doing early, so they're 6 weeks, so they're not, you know, they're still got a little ways to go. Back in the old days, people used to take them at 6 weeks. I think now they're, you know, they've let them get a little bit more immune systems and a little more social development before you take them home. But there's a number of things that you're going to want to look at over these several weeks without judgment. This is the hard part. Or bias, all right? That's important. If you think about picking a puppy, if you're, you know, been looking for this great litter and you have great hopes and things you want to do with this dog, oh, I don't even care if you're going to do nothing with it. You know, if you're going to just spend your life and this is one of your buddies, you want a lot of things that you might not think about that you want to look at with these little guys. So some of the characteristics we want. I'm going to talk about retrievers now, you know, functioning, hunting, and competitive retrievers. So that's going to be a part of it. But before you get to that part, you know, everybody's wanting to put pigeons out and letting dogs mangle them and stuff like that. Yeah, that is not a thing I think is super important at this age. The things that you want to start looking for with these dogs, one is their awareness of the world around them and their ability to assimilate it and process it and interact with it. That's going to be one of the most important things. So all the little, the breeders have put all the dogs, the little puppies in the horse barn. They're there out in the middle of the horse barn. There's room and they put them all in there in a big stall. So we're going to go look in there. So you open the door and you walk in. There's going to be the first one that sees you, and then a second, and then the third, and the fourth. Then there's one that didn't know the door opened because it was over there eating a bug in the corner. Okay? Just notice that. That's not a judgment of anything. But that little red collar, that just saw you right off as soon as you opened that door and just came running over. And then that triggered everybody else, and they all came over. All right, we got one little piece of information, maybe meaningful, maybe not. And the purple collar was still over there eating the bug, not that interested in coming over there. Those are the kind of things that are important, I think, to notice. How much is this dog aware of stuff going on around it? And then responding to it. Because for the rest of your life, if you have a dog like that, that's better than not having a dog like that. So watch those kind of things. And then watch the other things. So when they come over to you, do they just smack right into your feet and fall over? You know, do they come up to you and then make eye contact? What's their interaction with you? Do they run right by you and just go out the door and on into the rest of the barn and just leave you? You know, there's 7 million things that these little dogs can do. Just watch what that is in terms of connection with you, awareness of you, response to you. You know, are you more important or what the other puppy's doing more important? Just watch stuff like that. That's actually important because if when you're training this dog later on And you pick the one that was watching you and responding to you, then you're going to have that dog, assuming that's a consistent trait. Later on, do that same thing when you're training. Versus the one that went, oh, hey, everyone's going over here. Those are the ones maybe later on while you're training aren't really paying any attention to you. They're looking at what all the other dogs are doing, wanting to be over there instead of with you. It may or may not be that. That's why you can't judge. You just notice and take note of that stuff. So watch their interaction with each other, the world around them, and you. And what seems to be the thing to which they tune in or have a greater awareness or a greater priority. And watch that stuff the whole time you are with these dogs and looking at the litters, the whole time. Because that connection with you, as most of you know, is going to be very valuable if it's a natural thing that's built in from the beginning and then you enhance that. So you've got that. So let's take the puppies out. Let's don't get the birds out. Yes, don't get the birds out. Every puppy in the world wants to mangle a tied up pigeon. So let's don't right now. And it may be more a function of how much they like eating than it has anything to do with their bird stuff. So let's take these five girls. And we got a pasture outside back at the barn, and there's nothing harmful out there and no other dogs, and mom's not there and the kids aren't there. It's just you and me. We're the only ones there. Not the breeders sitting there telling you, I really like that little blue collar one. Don't let anyone feed you stuff. You know, when you're done, when you're finished picking stuff, then ask them, let them tell you everything they want. Then listen to their stuff after you've already connected with these puppies yourself. So you and I, we're going to walk out in the pasture. We're not talking. We're just puppy watching. So we open the door to the stall we were in, and we're going to walk out down the barn and out into the pasture. And we're calling them, you know, puppy, puppy, a little bit, not a lot. And we're just heading out there. So what happens? You know, does three of them just stay in the stall? They're scared to get out? And two just come with us? Okay, just take note of that. Do we have to go, you know, we lure them out and then we get two more out and that purple collar is still sitting in there looking for another buck. So we go pick up purple collar, take her out, and we get out into the pasture. Now, hopefully your breeders have had them somewhere than just the whelping room so that they have an idea that the world is slightly larger than that. If they haven't, then we're going to do that. So we're going to take a walk out in the pasture. Hopefully there's not manure or something they can eat and then we get sick puppies. Let's not have any negative stuff. We're going to just take a walk out in the pasture. Very telling thing right now. Huge, huge. And with consistency, this can tell a lot of the story that you want. So we walk out there and into the pasture. Now there's some horses. I'm just making up the story as we go, right? But there's some horses across the fence over there. Two of those little dogs immediately see those horses. Right? They're going, oh, giant dog over there. And then they look back at us. And one of them keeps staring at the horse. And the other one came, little red collar just came. Look at that horse. Comes over where we are following us. Some of them just stand in the doorway going, holy cow, what is this giant world? So these little puppies, in other words, are telling you when something new comes into their life, what do they do with that? You know, are they like, well, here we go. I'm going to go with these people. Or do they obsess with something over to the side that's new and different? Or do they just sit there going, I don't even know what to do and I don't want to do anything? Also, interesting and telling characteristics right there. We're going to get them all out, whether we have to lure them or go pick some of them up, and we're going to be walking out into this pasture. Not talking and yammering and talking about our previous puppy picking things. Because I don't do that, right? I'm just walking out there and I'm watching these dogs. Now, they're 6 weeks old, so it's not like we're going to go out for 20 minutes because they just little tiny 2-inch legs or whatever aren't going to be able to do that. But I'm going to go out and see who stays, walking slowly, puppy pace, just fast enough so that they can't get under my feet and trip me. We're going to walk out there and someone is going to not want to go any farther. And I don't know whether it's because they don't want to go farther or because physically they just can't go farther. Or those still obsessed or scared of the horses over there to the side a little ways. And then who is it that's just coming along with us just gleefully and bounding, right? So that could be many things. Again, you cannot make a judgment on that. That could be many things. Maybe that's the dog that's just too dumb to know that something's scary. It could be. Maybe it's the dog that physical movement is very easy for, easier than all the rest. Maybe it's the dog that's just intensely curious. Or maybe it's the dog that's just very connected with people and wants to just stay with us. Could be a lot of those things. It could be something really good and could be something really bad, like it's just too dumb to know the difference. So we're gonna just turn around because they're gonna get tired and it's the first time we've ever seen them. And we're gonna head up back to the barn. And there's a little place where there's some logs that they do some horse stuff, you know, and walk over. Just a low log. Just a, you know, one like a telephone pole laying down there. So you and I, we just walk right over to the dead center of that telephone pole that's used in the horse stuff and see what they do, right? There's now you, the ones that are still with us, some are just turning around, going back to the barn because this is just too overwhelming. So some we go and we go over this little telephone pole thing. And old Red Collar's just right over, doesn't even, almost like they don't even know there's a pole there. So maybe brave. Maybe too dumb to see there was a pole. Maybe just do whatever it takes to go with us. Could be any of those. And then another one comes up and looks at it and goes, holy cow, what is this giant thing? And then they just sit there afraid. And another one comes up and looks at it and goes, gotta get over it. And then they belly crawl up and over and here they come tumbling along with it. Okay, those are some very telling things. Nothing dangerous to a puppy ever, right? But who, again, we don't know if Red Collar is just super fantastic superstar or too dumb to recognize any of this stuff. Just flailing through life full bore, just doing whatever without doing a lot of thinking. And those, then we saw two of the little girls both stopped and thought. And one kind of just gave up and the other one went, shoot, I got to find a way and went over it. Very interesting things. One gives up, one figures it out. So for me as a trainer, right, dogs that think and figure stuff out, real positive. I still don't know about Red yet. I don't know what Red is, but Red's always there. And then these other two show some interesting things. And the two that turned it back, one went back to the barn and one just kind of sat there just like, I don't know what's happening. Now, I haven't ruled a single dog out here on this, but I have gotten some interesting information on this first 6 week time. So we're going to just run back up because they're tired, right? They're tired and we're going to just kind of run right back up to the barn, you know, 50 yards, whatever it is. There's little Red just running with us. And then the little one that went over is running hard too, but not as fast as Red. And they're coming up and the other one's jogging up like, I'm coming. Okay. Interesting stuff. Still don't know about Red. Could be really good or really bad. But I know a little bit of something about those others. And after that, then you go sit down and see who aggressive crawls up in your face and who walks away and ignores you and who's exhausted and who just now comes in and starts beating the heck out of one of the other ones because they're more interested in interaction with a dog than with you. Okay? So that might be something you want to think about. And you get the personal thing. One of the things to do also, learned this one from Jackie Mertens, very famous golden person, a long time ago, and I totally agree with her. She said, when you get these little puppies, take them up away from everybody else, pick it up by your face, and look at it and talk to it. And what does this dog do? Does it make eye contact and look directly at you? Or is it looking over, what are the other puppies doing? Oh my gosh, I'm so high up. Oh, what is that? What's that thing up there? Okay, the connection or the not connection. And you just do that for 10 or 15 seconds, that's all. Don't try and force anything. Just let the dog tell you if it wants to connect with you and does or does not. All right, so there we have a really nice six-week investigation. We weren't retrieving. We weren't tearing up birds. We weren't doing any of the stuff everybody wants to do. We were letting those dogs tell us about their physical nature, their heart and soul, their bravery, and their priorities. So now, okay, we looked, write everything down, talk, Red could be fantastic, I don't know, then this other one that was there, and then the two that were kind of, didn't really join us, not so sure about that. We're going to come back next week. All right, so we're going to come back next week, and we're going to pick out our five girls again, and we're going to not do exactly the same thing, right? Then they're bigger, right? They're bigger, they're louder. Is there a screecher in there? I'm still going to tell everybody that. Is there a screecher? Because a lot of times when they screech at that age, they're going to be screeching later on, which means if you do pick that one, you need to address the noise right off the bat, or you're going to have a lifetime of a yappy dog and bark collars and stuff like that. So we go back again now. It's kind of a chilly day, right? It's chilly, overcast, might be raining a little bit. And we're going to go, we get these five girls out. We're going to go somewhere slightly different. Instead of the same spot and the same stuff, we're going to pick up the five girls. It's still early, right? It's still early. Because if we go at the end of the day, Red, super aggressive Red that's been in the middle of everything with us, right? Red ate the most. And if we go at the end of the day and doesn't even want to go with us, just, I got to sleep this off, you guys. I got to digest. So if we, sometimes after the end of a very active day, Red just looks like a lump. And Red's not a lump at all. But the time of day that we're doing this testing makes it look that way. So to the best of your ability, or having your breeder do this for you, you know, consider making sure that you do these evaluations that you're doing when the dogs are at their optimum kind of a thing. So we're going to go again. These guys are 7 weeks old. So one of the first things that you and I are going to do, we're going to go get these girls, whether it's in a crate, you know, and we're going to take them down kind of by the creek, right? We're going to go down, there's a little creek, ideal breeding situation, obviously. But we're going to go take them down there. And I'm going to take out one at a time. And I'm not going to start with Red, who's right at the door. I'm going to start with that purple one that was eating the bugs and hanging back. And I'm going to get out my little puppy bumper. Hopefully the breeders have one. If not, I have a little soft, you know, puppy bumper thing. You could use a rolled up sock. I'm going to rub it all over, a little purple, rub it, play around. I don't care what the breeders are telling me about anything. I don't want to hear any of that. I'll just get that, not inside of those other dogs. We're behind the crate where they can't see. And I'm going to play it on the ground and get them to think, and I'm going to toss it just a little ways. Man, those eyes don't see very well. Just a little ways. What does purple do? And if they don't recognize what I'm doing, I get it back and I play with it and I let them kind of grab at it like a toy so they have it in their mouth and it has their smell all over them, right? And then I'll throw it again and see if I can get purple to go retrieve. Most of the time with these guys, you can. Every now and then, there's one that you know, just it's not computing. And it doesn't mean that in 2 weeks from now, it won't kick in big time. Not computing. But purple went over on the third or fourth try, got it, brought it back, praise heck, tried one more, a little bit. Then I stopped, right? The dog has shown me an interest in retrieving. And I go through all five of these, one at a time, rubbing the sock on them so their smell, making sure they get it in their mouth, tossing it out where they can see it. And then just see, do we have some interest in retrieving here or not? Most of the time, you find it. A lot of time, and then is there one that just rockets out there and gets it and comes right back to you? And whoa, more, and you didn't have to do a lot of stuff to entice them to do it. They just did it. That's a good sign. Again, you have one that might in their head is going, what are you doing? I don't know what this is. Don't let that worry you necessarily. But certain, they may be mentally a little bit behind some of these others. So I want to check what the retrieving thing is, but I'm not going to push it to the limits, find how long till they're disinterested. You know, you don't do that at any level in training, and don't do it on these guys. So I got to see, you know, four of them retrieved. Purple was the one that was looking at me like, what? So that was good. You know, Red did good. The other two that I really liked before, they all retrieved really well. So I was happy about that. And we put that up. Now we're done with the retrieving stuff. I just still don't have feathers anywhere, you guys. I don't have any birds. And I let them out, and here we go on a walk again. And open the door and shut it so nobody can run back in there and take off. And we're walking along the little path. And they're, you know, all kind of feeling good because it's early in the morning. They're feeling good. And they just retrieved. And I seem like a really good person. And so do you. And we're walking along. And then I go across this little stream. Not one that could damage, you know, is anything more than they'd get up belly wet, right? I walk across the stream. It's kind of like that log thing before. Do they go? Do they not go? What do they do? Does old Red just mindlessly slam across there without even recognizing they're in water? And then the other two stop and they look at that and they go, this is like the water bowl, only more. And then, you know, that same one just comes on across and the other one can't stand it because they're being left and they come across and Purple doesn't come across at all. I go get Purple and we get everybody across. And so we take a walk. And again, now I'm looking at how they think. what their courage is, how they think. I take a lot in that. What their interest is in being with us. Is it more being with us or is it being with the other dogs? I pay a little lot of attention to what those priorities are for the dog. And then we're going to walk and maybe go through some, you know, stuff where it's kind of stickier. You know, there's a lot of leaves. Or we go by a big old dead tree. Those are scary. You know, what happens? I don't do anything that's harmful to them or not possible. I just watch their reaction to their environment, to each other, and to me. And there's always one or two dogs in there that are always watching me, always wanting to see what I do. And then there's always one or two that's the other dogs. We're walking along exploring this really beautiful kind of shady tree, bush-filled area. And one of them just wants to beat the heck out of the other one. That's all they want to do. They're not enjoying what we're doing. They're not interacting. They're doing that, right? That's not a positive for me. You know, because I train dogs. I like dogs that like school and like doing things. So then we come back across the water again. Is anything changed? Are they still the same? You know, so the red and the other two, they come just barreling right across. And then we have to go get purple and bring purple over because the water's scary. And then we go on back, put them all in the crate and go back. Okay, we've gotten, is it the same? Has anybody changed since last week? You know, is suddenly, not purple, but the one just next to purple, you know, the green collar, suddenly the green collar, you know, is the one that just sat on the, left the barn, but just looked at the horses and didn't come with us. Did all of a sudden green just start to kick in and be right up there with us and be a part of it? Or is green still kind of holding back? I just pay attention to that. So we, in our walk, I'm watching who has the physicality, who has the ease of movement. That's very important. The ones with good ease of movement tend to be the ones who do not tire out as much, just like with any athlete. They also tend to be the ones that don't get injured as much as others, just like athletes. And they tend to be the ones that are just sort of gifted with how they're built. And things are just, everything is going to be a little bit easier, come more naturally to them. I really like to pay attention to that. I'm really paying attention to what the dog's priority is. Is it just having fun with the other dog? Is it not exploring too much? Is it just, you know, running wild out there? Or is it going, what are you doing? I'm going to stay with you. What are these puppies' priority? And then what is their physicality? And what is their ability to think? Because even on dogs, you know, now we're 7 weeks old, you can see that. Do they use their mind, their head, or not? That's an important thing to do. So we leave, we haul them back up, thank everybody, and we drive away. We're going to come back next week, do one more look, and then we're going to take our dog. So here's where I vary from a lot of people. We come back, we get our five girls again, and we now we're going to go to a different place. We're going to do a different place. Now we're going to get out. I'm going to do some retrieving again right off the bat. I'm going to get one out at a time. I'm not going to make it so, you know, much. I'm just going to hold on to them in my hand and throw it where they can see it and send them on their name and see what they do. I might even throw it across the water if I can. If there's some water, safe, intimidating water, if they retrieve once or twice, I might throw a little bit one in the water and see what happens. You know, have their breeders maybe already acquainted them with water? Is this their first time? You know, I want to know just what they think about that. And do they tend to just bring it right back? You know, do they have that real strong, good retrieving thing? For the pointing guys, the only thing I would do that I do is if you have a little like a live quail with it doesn't smell like your hand and your gloves, but if you want, you know, just have it one at a time, like the retrieving. Let's just still make sure who's the good retriever and who makes sense with this or not. Although that's not super important. It's important, but not super important. I'd rather have a thinker than I would just a maniacal retriever. But I get this little quail out, kind of hold on to it for a minute. So just put it, let the dog see it. Because they don't understand the concept of small live game bird. Okay, that's not a thing in their head. So I'll let them see it and smell it. You know, what do? Sometimes they shy away and back off. That's not a negative. That's just like, oh my God, it's alive and it's not a puppy. What is that? That can be very frightening. But I let him see it, and then I'll set it down in kind of a some grass or a bush or something where it's just going to sit there for a minute, not just fly away, and then let the dog do. The dog may have no interest in going over there. Now, they are also downwind of where I put this bird, and they saw me do it, and they're right there. And I put it in there and just step away. What do? They might just go, "What is that?" and then turn and run back to the other dogs or somewhere else. That is not necessarily a negative. This just might not be clicking in their head. And then another one's going to walk up there, you know, and sniff and maybe sniff for a while and then go, "I don't know," and walk away. And then there's another one that might go in there and then jump in there and try to get it. And every now and then, one walks up there and then just freezes, right? When they have the convincing scent of that little bird, it just freezes, okay? That doesn't mean that's the one that freezes on there for the pointing guys. That doesn't mean that, "Oh my God, I got a pointer," but it sure doesn't mean you don't. So a few opportunities like that without pressure. What people do when you first do this little live bird, not dead bird, not a wing, not a dead body, when you do this little live bird thing, is they put pressure on the dog. Let's get him downwind. Here, put him there. And you got all this pressure. Those little suckers feel that. That's a negative. I just let them see it and go, "Is that cool?" And then whatever reaction they have, I'm fine with it. And I let them see me put it in this little spot. And I step out of the way and go, "Yours to do whatever you want, dude." You know, and just make sure that they are in a position where they can smell it. But I don't force it. If I have to force it, this bird becomes a negative thing. So I'm just going to see what I get with that. Not, you know, and I know there's the fish and pole thing. And it, some people swear by it and it works for them. And that's awesome. But I have seen so many dogs point something up, that wing flipping up and down whenever they get near it. I've seen, you know, I had a wiener dog that pointed that, and he's not a pointing dog. So I like real bird encounters and just see what they do before they know anything. Because when you start putting pressure on them and setups and all that, now we got pressure and we got teaching and we got stuff. You let me see what that little dog does when he doesn't know anything and he just encounters that. That can be very telling. Unless you have a knucklehead that has no development mentally yet for that, and then it doesn't even register. And then everybody's, "Oh no, the dog's no good." Not necessarily, it's just that it's not there yet in their head. You know, it's like taking a 3-year-old boy and going, "Gee, don't you think J-Lo is the sexiest thing alive?" And he's not going to have a clue what you're talking about yet. So it's sometimes with birds, it's the same thing with these little guys. You know, you just have to let what happens. But some of the greatest dogs that I've had and that I've seen, and a lot of you guys listen to this have seen that, where we just go take a, if I only have Chucker, you know, if I have one that's not feeling very well, the other guys are beating him up a lot and it's probably not going to last in the pen, I'll go take that one because it's not going to just pop and fly away. Put it down somewhere kind of in the brush and then just take that little puppy out and let them get downwind of it. So where you put it's important they can wind it. And I have, almost without exception, the really good guys I've had, little puppies, they just freeze. And some of them even do the little dry body thing. Cutest thing in the world, right? They just freeze. And it's the coolest sight. Okay, so I'm like going, "Hey, we may have a pointer here. This looks pretty good." And then it usually turns out really well. So that's something you can do. If they don't do it, that does not rule them out at all. Not at all. So the things to summarize, we're getting close to 45 minutes and I'm just yammering on. The things that are important are, in my opinion, and you have to watch, see the consistency and make sure, and don't judge, just take note. Like this was a super important decision that was going to affect the next 15 years of both of your lives. Make it like that, okay? How aware is this dog of the world around it? How does this little dog, does it respond and interact with the world around it? Or does it just try to stay in its own little safe place and let the big bad world be outside of it? Right? Obviously, we want the dog with a lot of awareness. Is this dog tuned in to me, to you? Is this dog tuned in to us? Am I really important? You know, because that's how we breed these guys. We breed them so that we're a big deal. So is this dog real into me or is this dog real into beating up the other dogs and not me? Okay, that's an important thing. Does this dog think? You know, when we go over the down telephone pole, right?
does is just slam into it, fall back, slam into it, fall back, and just, you know, then cry, and then, or does it walk up and go, holy cow, it's big? Sometimes they're smart and they go around. Sometimes they're smart and they stop and think and go, I think I can get over. And they think about it first. So the one that just charges over it, that may be great. And that may be just be one too dumb to think about it, right? So who shows you thinking on the water? They go, oh, I've never seen water before, but I really want to get across. Go, all right? Thinking dogs, aware dogs, dogs that show you that you're important. Look for dogs that connect with you. They are more trainable. They are more enjoyable. And their priority might tend to be more you than other stuff. And in a partnership for the rest of your life and the stuff you guys want to do together, that's an important factor, that eye contact, that looking at you. The physicality, also very important. Now, if it's a pig dog that eats the most and he gets the most of everything, but actually he is real athletic, but he's kind of fat, so you can't tell, you know, you can't necessarily judge that. But overall, when they're tired, who can still keep going with relative ease? Who is physical enough to keep doing, never put these guys in any kind of harm or overdo it. But there's always the one that can still just run and do all this stuff and the others that are tired. So unless someone's sick or ill or has a tummy ache, that can be very telling. Who has the good desire to retrieve? Who, when they retrieve, actually knows to bring it back to you? Right? That's important. The bird thing and the pointing stuff, you know, it might not be, it might be a super, I've seen dogs that never point at that age. And I have seen other breeds point, and I have seen some greats that became great, didn't have an interest in the bird, walk right over the top of it and not even know it. That's not a bad bird dog. That's a little kid that's like the 3-year-old going, hey, what do you think of J-Lo? Right? J-Lo doesn't register. So don't misread that one. I would pay more attention to the dog's thinking ability, connection with you, and how responsive they are, and how quickly they pick up on what's happening. Those things are real important. So can you do that with dogs? Absolutely. Does what you see in that period of time we do mean that's absolutely what it is? Not necessarily. Most of the time it does. So if you have the time and the availability, you can, and you go through this, it's a lot of fun. And if you really dig down and kind of go into the intuitive part of you, you can often find that once-in-a-lifetime kind of dog. If you're not in a position to do that, if your breeders are the type who are willing to give you the time, it's going to help them. If they go do this stuff, they're going to have a better feel for the dogs themselves if they're the ones that are divvying out dogs to everybody. But if you have the opportunity, one, this is a lot of fun, and two, it can net some good stuff for you, and it'll tell you a lot about your little dogs before you ever get going with them. So can you pick a puppy? Some folks can. It takes a lot of thinking, a lot of heart, and a lot of time. But if you go in there armed with some, you know, good ideas, you might find that you're getting, you know, that one dog that you really hoped you were getting. So that's today's podcast. I hope that's helpful to those of you that are going to be going to get puppies here sometime in the future. And we'll be back with something for bigger dogs here on the next one shortly.